country. It's time to dance.
Barkin for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Catamount Insider, episode one of the 2025-2026 season. I'm Brian McLaughlin, here with Ryan Zellifro of the Vermont men's soccer team. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks to everybody watching with us. If you're catching us on YouTube, we thank you for joining us. This is new this year, and it's great to have everybody who's viewing our show for the first time. It's our first time trying this out as a video product, as well as our normal podcast. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you find your podcasts, nothing changes. We're going to have an episode every Friday, not on the radio anymore this season, but still coming out in podcast form. We're going to be trying to do one of these video interviews every single week to bring you on the Catamount Athletics YouTube page, but also have a couple interviews every week on the podcast feed. And we thank Ryan again for joining us, man. How's the season been going? Just the team's obviously unbeaten. You're top 10 in the country. That's all going well, but tell me about it. What's been working well so far this season for the team?
Yeah, I think results are obviously going our way, but also the team chemistry, as we can see on the field, is really starting to click, and we're playing really well. And the locker room, the vibes are high. The vibes are high at practice, and everybody's just so excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, you individually have played great of late. 3 goals in your last 2 games, but the team has been clicking as well, now in a bit of a winning streak. But your individual performance, 3 goals in 2 games, that's a fun little stretch, huh?
Yeah, it's been fun.
What's that like when you do start finding the back of the net and you're in some rhythm, in some goal-scoring form now?
I mean, yeah, obviously everybody wants to score, but just finding habits and taking confidence in little things in the game and then building moments, and obviously great confidence boost to get this couple goals, but just hoping to keep going.
All right, the comeback against Fairfield, trailing by a couple. You score 2 second-half goals. The team pours in 4 after halftime. The halftime talk, what goes into a conversation like that with the coaches, the leaders on the team? What are you guys talking about at halftime when, even before Coach Brad and Coach Rob come in, what's the conversation like amongst the team when you're trailing 2-0 at the break?
Yeah, obviously our captains are unbelievable, and we all, even walking off the field, we were all, I mean, honestly, nobody was worried. We had been here so many times before in the College Cup and just in each game. And we got in the locker room and everybody said, we've been in so much worse situations and we've been 2-0 down with 10 minutes left and we figured it out. So I don't think anybody was worried. We just stayed composed, had a difficult conversation with the captains and the coaches, but honestly, it was a great talk.
I wanted to ask you about what the coaches were saying, because it's obviously frustrating to go down by a couple, but you also have that belief. How do they try to balance that, knowing that you guys have what it takes to come back, but also knowing that maybe they weren't happy with the first half level?
Yeah, obviously away from home it's difficult, especially against a team like Fairfield where we were expecting a win, but we got in the locker room and had a tough talk with the coaches, but we changed the game plan a bit, and I think they made a great adjustment. And I mean, as we all saw, the second half went our way.
What does winning a national championship do to changing a mentality? Because, like you said, you guys have this self-belief whenever you are down that you have goals coming late in games. Do you think that stems from all those dramatic wins you had a year ago, just kind of rolling over?
It has to. I think with the players we have now and knowing that we have guys like Maxi Kissel and David and Philip who will put the ball in the back of the net no matter what, I think it's a great confidence boost just to know that, hey, we've been here before, like, no one's worried. We know we're going to score. We'll just keep playing our game.
You also have comebacks this season, though, a new group of players, and many of those returners, yourself included. But what has that done this year to be able to add on and continue to win games and find a way to get a couple of tough-fought draws? Building mentality with this new team, how's that gone?
Yeah, honestly, every time I think about it, I can't help but laugh. Just the amount of comebacks, and the people say the cardiac cats, but it honestly is so true. And I think it's a great testament to the guys on the team and especially the coaching staff and just the mentality that we all have bought into. It's just unbelievable to see.
When did that kind of start a year ago? When did you guys start kind of feeling that self-belief that you were going to be able to find a way to fight back in every single match?
I honestly don't know. I mean, as we went through the College Cup run, or not the College Cup, just the tournament run, we saw games where maybe we didn't dominate and we didn't have the ball as much as we would have wanted to, but we were beyond comfortable defending, and we knew we were going to score, and we knew we were going to win. And especially in the College Cup, as soon as we got to Cary, there was just this feeling within the group, and like this, like we all knew we were going to win. We knew we weren't going there just to win third place or second.
That run, how often do you think back to it, or is it just something that's always kind of lingering? And what are the memories that pop up as you do look back on such a historic moment in time?
Yeah, obviously with the new season, we try not to think about it just because it's a whole new group, it's a whole new season, but you can't help but not. I mean, the memories from Cary, just going throughout the entire tournament run, all the away games, all the plane rides, the late nights, but it was unbelievable. All the memories, just they come in every day. They just do it themselves.
Such a big storyline last year was the veterans on the team. So many guys who had been there for such a long time, the likes of Zach Barrett, Max Murray, setting records for games played in a Catamount uniform. But you cracked the lineup as a freshman. You're in the rotation and a huge part of the team. How was that as a young guy with this group of older players to step in and find your role with the team a season ago?
Yeah, obviously at the start it was hard, just confidence and the feeling of belonging. But I think the coaches and the entire team, but especially the older guys, like you were just saying, Zach and Max and Cole just did an unbelievable job of just helping me feel welcome and like giving me little pro tips on how to succeed in this program. And obviously cracking the lineup, I was so happy to be able to play, but just feeling off their energy and running with it.
What were the things you learned last year that helped you kind of get your footing throughout the year, that as a young kid coming into that level of soccer, I'd imagine that wasn't easy at first, like you said, but what were the things that you really felt helped you succeed?
Yeah, one thing that I thought really helped me was just playing free and just playing with the sense of like, who cares if you lose a ball, who cares if you make a mistake, as long as you, like we always say, we call it hunt, which is meaning like when we lose a ball, we say hunt and we try and win it back right away. But as long as I lose the ball, or as long as I hunt when I lose the ball, it's nobody's going to be mad at me. And I think the feeling of knowing that, especially from the coaching staff and the guys on the team, it makes it much easier to play free.
You mentioned Cole Richardson, a guy who maybe wasn't in the star status of some of those other veterans. What is it about this program? I see guys at the very end of the bench, every single game, feeling like they're making an impact, very involved, very dedicated to the program, even if they aren't seeing the minutes. How is it that guys like Cole can still be so impactful with this team, even if they aren't maybe playing 90 minutes a night?
Yeah, so we, in J-Peak, when we go, we have this thing called mentor-mentee system. So the new guys that come in, they get a mentor, and Cole happened to be my mentor, which was funny because he was also number 27. But I think just bouncing questions off him or concerns, or whenever I needed something, there's just someone to talk to or something to talk about, I would always go to Cole, and he was always there, and he'd always give me great advice. And I think just all the boys on the team, no matter if they're playing or not, are so bought into the system that it's just everybody's there to win. Everybody knows what they have to do to win and is willing to give anything they can to the team.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Everybody up on kind of what's gone on since the national title. What was the spring like? Obviously a parade comes through, you get to celebrate with everybody, but when did it kind of focus back in on, all right, let's lock in, we have a spring season, and then I know your goals were immediately high for the following year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't help but be ecstatic about the spring, but I think it was about probably a couple of weeks after the parade, we were like, okay, this is a brand new team, it's a brand new season, like as hard it is, we have to put last year behind, and we have more goals and more a new season.
Then you had a busy summer. You started the year with Reading United. Am I getting that right? In USL 2?
Westchester.
Westchester. Sorry, yeah. Wrong Philly club. My bad. Westchester in USL 2. Then you go to Germany for a bit. You spend some time with Vermont Green. You win a national title with Vermont Green FC right here at Virtue Field. Describe your summer to me. What was it like this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to go home, play for Westchester, who has a great staff and a great environment, and it was nice to play with all my hometown friends. And then the Germany trip was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. It was a great team bonding, but it was also a high level of soccer and just great memories. Mm-hmm. And then coming back here, like slowly getting back into the swing of things with like being in the state of Vermont and then being with a part of Vermont Green, it's just those games were unbelievable. And the amount of people that came out and the support the community showed is just top level.
I wanted to ask you about the soccer community here, because as cool as the run was in Cary a year ago, it was in Cary, and there was a great support group down there with you, and so many great fans made that trip. But what was it like this summer getting to do that run at Virtue Field in Burlington in front of so many great fans who are fans of both Vermont Green and UVM? Tell me about the emotions of getting to do that here at your home fields.
Yeah, honestly, I remember talking exactly about this to Maxie and Nicholas and just saying, like, we're in the same spot, but now we're home, and we're able to do it in front of this community that, I mean, as we all saw, like, the hill was packed, behind was packed, and they had to rearrange Virtue Field so they could fit more people in it, and it was just, I have no words for it. It was unbelievable to see all the support that we got.
Tell me about sharing it with Maxie and Nicholas.
Yeah, I mean, Maxie and Nicholas, I would say, are one of my two closest friends on the team, and I think this summer we got much closer as well, and just being able to share those both experiences, College Cup and Vermont Green, with them and celebrating with them both times and just like talking to them. I talk to them all the time about like us three haven't lost a game since October. And I think, knock on wood, but I think that like it's just it's unbelievable.
Nicholas has lost once in his career and it was his second career start. What's he like? Just tell me about your big keeper back there who just seems to come up with the big stop every time you need one.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. I mean, a lot of games, even this past UMBC game, we dominated. He didn't have many saves or just involvement in the game, and then 70th minute he has a massive save to keep us ahead. And we always joke about it in practice, but he makes us all so mad in practice when we shoot the ball and it's an unbelievable shot and he just comes flying out of nowhere and catches it.
Unbelievable for sure. And then Maxi Kissel, the man who is inevitable, scores in the national championship again. I mean, how crazy is that? Both national title games, he scores a late game winner. Something about that kid, right?
Yeah, he's a man for the big moment.
Man for the big moment indeed. Okay, Vermont Green season ends. How quickly does the turnaround start of, all right, it's time to run it back with UVM? What was that timeline like for you as you had to get back and get right back to it with your team?
Yeah, so before the Vermont Green season even ended, all the UVM guys were back for preseason, and we were able to do a mix of both teams and also practice with UVM, but still practice with Green at the same time, and obviously they allowed us to play in the final, which was nice. But I think it was difficult because obviously we're coming off the high of winning that final, and then 2 days later we're back into college preseason for a brand new season with a brand new team that we don't know anything about. And it was difficult, but I think the coaches helped us and they did a great job of managing our legs and managing our loads. And
yeah, you had to be exhausted, right?
Yeah, it was tough at the beginning, but
I can imagine. Okay, the team aspect early on in that start of the season for UVM, what were you guys really focused on in the preseason wanting to bring to the table this year? Preseason number one in the country had to be playing on your mind a bit as well.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, pressures of privilege, and I think we all knew that, and we all knew that going in, and we all had high expectations, as well as everyone else had high expectations for us. But I think just getting down the team morals and like the team standards was a big thing for us, and everybody buying in and just building chemistry within the group, which we started to see in these past couple games, which is nice.
We talked a lot earlier about kind of the veterans from a year ago. Now as a returner to this year's team, what did you try to tell the newcomers? Because there are a lot of newcomers who came in and are contributing in big roles right away. What was kind of the messaging to those guys?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, a lot of these guys have come from environments where they are the guy and they're the guy everybody looks to. And I think it's hard coming in as a young guy where maybe you're not the guy anymore and maybe you're the guy coming off the bench or getting not the minutes you would like. And I think I just to keep your head down and to keep going and to keep working as hard as you can and just do everything you can do to give to the team.
Tough non-conference schedule, played some really challenging opponents. What are you going to look back on from the non-conference this year? I know you still have one more coming up against Harvard, but from that non-conference slate of games, what are you going to think back about?
Yeah, we played a lot of different teams. We played a lot of different styles of teams and had a lot of different games. Some we dominated, some we came back from. But yeah. I think just taking from that and seeing, hey, like, it's similar to last year, we can come back, but also that there's games that we can dominate and can just put teams to bed right away. So I think bringing with that momentum into conference, especially still being undefeated, it's going to be big for us.
Your own development. What in Ryan Zellifro's game are you working on at the moment?
Scoring, assisting, getting actual production, but I think just, yeah, like stats.
It's always struck me watching you play, it's hard to take the ball from you, and you find a way to keep it and get past defenders, and you have some great runs, and then worst case, you're drawing a foul. Tell me about that aspect of your game. How long has that been something you've been skilled at?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if someone were to ask me what my favorite thing about the sport is, I would without a doubt say dribbling. So I think, yeah, even since I was a little kid, I've always loved dribbling, and I've always been in the basement or the backyard just dribbling a ball around and going in circles. And my parents joked that I used to sleep with a soccer ball just to get attached to the ball. But I think my thing with drawing fouls is sometimes in a difficult situation, the only thing you can do and the best outcome is to just get a foul. So
you don't exactly have the size or physicality of a David Ismail, for example. How have you tried to, not necessarily make up for that, but how have you dealt with that sometimes against bigger, stronger opponents out there?
Yeah, well, I have a saying that you don't always have to be faster, you just have to think faster. And I always try to think one step ahead of the opposition and know what I'm going to do before I get the ball and try to predict what they're going to do and do the opposite.
What excites you about conference play, games against opponents that you know coming up?
Yeah. Obviously, rivalries, big rivalries, excited for the UNH game, excited for the Bryant game, which will be a big one, but just playing in front of the crowd again and even going on the road and playing in a hostile environment, like this upcoming NJIT is a hard place to play, but just going on the road, going on bus rides with the guys and then coming home with 3 points and positive vibes.
At NJIT, this Saturday at 1 p.m., everybody should tune in. Saturday against NJIT, next at home, October 11th, 6 p.m. against UMass Lowell.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Going to our Chat with the Cats segment, where we dive deeper into Ryan Zellifro, where he's from, what he likes, what he dislikes maybe. Where are you from again? Pennsylvania? Philly area?
Right outside Philadelphia, yeah.
That's what they all say. Give me the town. Hometown.
Berwyn, Pennsylvania.
Berwyn, yeah. Pennsylvania. How far outside Philly is that?
Fully depends on traffic, but without traffic, like 30, with traffic, an hour.
So did you root for the Philly sports teams growing up?
100%, yeah.
Oh boy, the Philadelphia Phillies are in the playoffs. No comment from me. Chicago Cubs play later today. That's my team. What was it like growing up there? What other sports did you play growing up? Tell me about just that time of your life.
Yeah, so I played baseball growing up. So baseball and soccer are my main two. And then my brother actually played the exact same two. And then about eighth grade, going into high school, we had a talk with our parents and was like, hey, like we need to pick one sport. And I ended up picking soccer, and he ended up picking baseball, and we just ran with those, and we both fell in love with them.
Older brother, younger brother?
Older, by 3 years.
3 years older. Nice. That's awesome. What was it like with an older brother playing sports? Did he ever let you win?
Oh, some crazy competitive days, especially in the backyard, the basement. I actually just gave a presentation in class about how our basement has all these holes in it from the soccer balls we've kicked, and I think we played five different sports in that basement, and we got creative using a little foam sword as a baseball bat, but it was unbelievable. I think he helped me push myself, and obviously he's my toughest competitor, but he was also my biggest supporter, and I always know I can call him and he'll be in my corner.
There's still a dent in my basement wall from a ping pong paddle that I threw back in the day. We don't need to get into that conversation either. I want to just ask you about outside of soccer, what do you like doing? What do you like spending your time doing when you're trying to think about something other than the sport that I know is such a big part of your life?
Yeah, this summer I really took advantage of North Beach, and I really love just going there and reading or just laying down in the sand or playing spike ball or going just swimming in the water and just hang out with friends. And I love being outside, so I would say just almost anything outside I enjoy.
What do you like to read?
A lot of history, a lot of U.S. history, but I would say those are my main favorite.
Cool. What are you studying in school? You're now a sophomore, starting to really kind of get some focused classes, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. I'm studying public communications.
Okay. What led you to that path?
Just wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, so sure. I thought, what's something that keeps a lot of doors open and builds social skills, which I think are really important in every aspect of jobs and just life, so.
You kind of mentioned it in the off season, spending some time at the beach, but growing up when you weren't playing soccer, baseball, or sports, what were things that you would just like doing and just kind of things that maybe you were interested in back then that maybe you've lost interest in now these days?
Honestly, it was always sports. It was always our neighborhood. We have our street is flat and the neighbors across from us and down the road, we would always just play soccer, football, or basketball or anything in the street, and just growing up, always active, but biking a lot as well.
Cool. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us this week on our first episode of the season on Catamount Insider. Really appreciate you taking the time, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. More episodes coming out every Friday morning. You can listen to us on the podcast versions on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts, and right here on YouTube for the videos. This has been Catamount Insider.